As we think about today's message, the title is The Perfect Sacrifice. And I think everyone in here would probably concur on what that perfect sacrifice is and has been for us. But as we approach this, I would invite you to join me in prayer. Most kind, wonderful, loving Father, Son, and Spirit, God, for the beauty of this season, the trees that are turning, the color, the joy that we can have in watching the sunrise and sunset. God, the blessings that you pour out upon us continually. God, and today this message, it's yours. I ask that you would speak it however you choose, change words, change thoughts if you need that. Certainly allow our hearing to hear what exactly you want for each one. God, is a gift that you give us every time. And we thank you, and I just praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Looking at the concept of the perfect sacrifice will kind of be the overall theme, but we're going to go through some points ahead of that. Taking from the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, there's a couple of things. The great sin is talked about. And in that, the great sin, the essential vice, the most evil, is pride. Pride leads to every other vice. It is complete anti-God state of mind. It is a pride from which the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. We have all experienced our own pride in different things, but we've probably also experienced working with, neighboring with, family with, someone that pride is just over the top. And so when he talks about it leads to every other vice, typically you can always track it back to somebody's pride in the middle of the process. And pride is a universal problem. From Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. And if you go through the history of the world, nation after nation after nation, pride was a lot of what the catalyst was prior to their fall. They were the one and only. They were in their mind. And the priesthood was no exception. That's the very people that we should be able to trust. And looking from the Old Testament time frame, the high priest was literally the name, the high priest, someone you should be able to trust. The high priest Ananias was a great hoarder of money. He was very inward. He also had servants who were very wicked. They stole tithes that belonged to the priests that they lived on, beating those that resisted giving them this money. From the Antiquities of the Jews, Josephus talks about how bad those times were. The sheer greed, the sheer possession, the sheer pride in, I deserve this. It's not so far from our world today. People in Jesus' day had a low opinion of the priesthood and the high priest for good reason. I mean, when you lived in that environment, there was no one you could go to get relieved from that. This was the high priest and those that were with him. The audience for the book of Hebrews, which were Christian Jews, needed to be convinced that there would be a high priest for them, someone they could trust. We are in the same situation. We need someone that we can trust that is in that role of the high priest. The question is, would Jesus be different? They needed to know why the high priest was different more than anything that was ever known. Could they trust Jesus? Could they trust him to be the high priest? In today's text, Hebrews 7:23-28, gives us qualities to think about. Qualities of a high priest. The first one, a permanent high priest, forever. Verses 23-25. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number. They had a lot of priests that worked underneath the high priest because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds the priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And I would add, for us as well, you and me. He lives to make intercession. That's what he is about, interceding for each one of us. And it's something we can trust. The fact that they were human ensured that they had term limits. They would die. They didn't live on and on. The word aperabatos, Greek, conveying that Jesus' priesthood would not pass away, is a legal word meaning unalterable. It would stay the same. And non-transferable, there would not be another high priest. That came from Barclay's commentary. Hebrews is telling us that the priesthood could never be taken from Jesus. There would be no reason to, for one thing. It is something no one else could ever possess. Jesus is forever the high priest. Jesus is forever at the service of humankind. He is our forever Savior. We don't have to look for another. He has already fulfilled that role for us. Nothing, not even death, can separate us from Jesus and his love. From Romans 8:38-39. We can rest assured, or we can count on, that he will always be there for us, offering us grace in our time of need as we draw near to him. And I have to stop and pause. Do I go there first? Do I reach out to my high priest, Jesus, first? As our high priest, Jesus offered up the perfect sacrifice himself. We do not have to try and work things out with a distant, uninvolved, uncaring God. Think about that. We don't have to worry about, well, is God, is he listening? Can he hear me? Is the switchboard full and I have to wait? No, none of that. We are not left trying to figure out some way to make ourselves right with God. And I have run into, and I'm sure many of you have too, that some people say, I'm just too bad. God, I am beyond what God can take care of. Or those that are trying to make themselves good enough or acceptable enough to be worthy of God's love, attention, or grace. That's a hard person to talk to because they can't see how awesome God is, how Jesus has come to save and be there for them. Jesus did it for us. We can never make ourselves good enough. We will all fail at that, except Jesus steps in. Jesus exhibits humility. That's not the pride. That's the opposite of pride, humility. He is not there touting who he is and what he's done. He's there to help each one of us as we respond to him. Jesus exhibits care. His willing sacrifice gives us a life. Our sins are forgiven. He cares about us. He wants us to respond to him. Jesus exhibits assurance that we are never alone in our suffering. And every one of us, I'm sure, have been in a situation or multiple situations, and we're struggling. Maybe we don't know the answers. We don't know how this is going to play out, but it doesn't look good. But we have an assurance that we aren't doing this by ourselves. We have a God who cares, who loves us, and who has stepped in to give us life. Another provision of the high priest being Jesus, suffering servanthood and the connection with humility. We have a high priest who understands and is willing to go through any and all of our difficulties. There are others that have commented that I don't want Jesus. If he comes along with me, he'll get drugged through all this yuck that I have in my life. But he's willing to do that. He's willing to step in and fulfill his role as high priest to work with each one, to lift you out of whatever it is that you're in the middle of. Verse 26 through 28. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day. The human high priest of old had to offer first thing sacrifices for his sins before he could do his duties for the rest of the people. Jesus doesn't have sin that has to be taken care of. There is no sin. He has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. It was a perfect sacrifice. And he willingly gave up his life so that we would have life. Do I seek Jesus always? In the middle of high times, laugh, funny, want to share joys, or when you're going through some really dark struggles, do we look to Jesus? For the law appoints as high priest humans who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This was long before we were born, but he made our way available to him. Jesus' perfected understanding of suffering and sacrifice connects him with humanity. He understands us. He totally gets us. And there are some that would say, Jesus isn't, he never went through what I'm going through. Well, he says he went through everything. I don't know how that all plays out, but everything seems like he understands and can see what the situation is, and he suffered for you for that. Jesus willingly gave up his rights as God's son. Think about that. He was creator. All the things he did, and he gave it all up to come down to be a human being that had aches and pains, that probably had people treat him rudely. You know, what would it have been like to grow up with Jesus as one of your brothers? That's kind of an interesting thing to think about. But he gave up his godly rights. Philippians 2, 6 and 7. Who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness. He thought that much of the human world. And he wants each one of us to be in relationship with him. What more could he possibly do for us, for you, than to give up everything to pay the price for our sin? We will experience suffering in this life, most likely over and over. As we get older, we probably suffer physically more than we did when we were younger. And, you know, that's a given as part of the human life. There is suffering involved. The example that is used is the story of Job. I think each one of you have probably read the story of Job at least once. But the story of Job helps us understand that some things cannot be explained. Job recognizes the futility of needing to know why misfortune happens. I cannot tell you the number of times that in difficult situations, why is the word that is asked. Over and over, why did this have to happen? Why did this? And Job recognized the futility of knowing why misfortune happens. That was the story partially that came from his life. And instead, he rests in knowing that God sees him and has always seen him. Talks about he knew us in our mother's womb as he created us. He's always been there with us, always. And we probably will never know why in this life, but we don't need to. We know that he takes care of it. Allowing God to be our Lord is not something we do easily. And I always have to ask myself the why question. Why do I not go to God first in the situation? If it's a health issue, why don't I go to him first? If it's finances, why don't I go to him first? So many of the times I try and take care of the problem, take care of the situation, when ultimately we tend to get to the last resort, and God seems to be that last resort. When from the very beginning, he knows us, and he wants to hear from us, and he wants to save and respond to us. Help us through whatever situation it is. Maybe it's a quick healing, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just coming along beside and helping us on a day-to-day business, as we go through the business of life. But allowing God to be our Lord is not something we do easily. Believing this, not in doing that, attending this, or avoiding, that is always a process. One of the things for me has been a major takeaway from this series of messages over the last couple of weeks and today is Jesus is a high priest that wants to be with me, that wants to take care of my situations, that wants me to be in relationship with him. He's covered my sins. Those aren't even an issue. That's the guy. That's the one that continually comes forward. I just need to learn to go there first, because then I won't need to go to the second and the third and the fourth options, because Jesus is working with me in the first option. Jesus enjoys the freedom of union with God. And just stop and think about what that might look like in our limited human ability for Jesus, fully God, fully man, to be in union with his Father God. How special and how awesome that is. And he, Jesus, extends that same freedom to us. He wants us to be connected with his Father. And I know in the church that I grew up in, the Father was pretty harsh as it was portrayed. I don't see that today. I see a Father that loves his Son, and his Son loves us, and he wants us to all be in relation with him. It came with a cost, though. Our pride, our need to be right, our desire to be special and receive special treatment, and our self-critical, self-absorbed behavior has to go away. But that's a tough one. As we started out, pride is the one that starts everything negative. It's of the vices. Jesus exhibited the humility and the servanthood of a worthy high priest. I want you to just stop and think. What comes to mind? Is there an example that comes to mind? Can you think of anything that the high priest, Jesus, has done in your life, and you recognize that Jesus was taking care of you? Let's embrace the freedom of union with God we have in our high priest, Jesus. From the scriptures, one of the things that comes to mind of Jesus was in the upper room. What's the first thing that he did? He took a towel and he bathed the disciples' feet. He was in charge. He was the boss. What was he doing? The job of the lowest servant of the house. These disciples meant so much to him, and he wanted them to learn this lesson, and he reached into them in a very special way. Another example from scriptures is his mother. On the eve of Jesus performing his first miracle of water into wine, he wasn't quite ready yet, but his mother said to the servants, "Do what he commands." She believed in her son, and he looked at his mom and he performed a miracle. We think of things in our life today. If you have some time, jot down different things that come to mind of Jesus intervening and Jesus putting his humility first in service to you. This week and beyond, look for examples of great love accompanying great humility and service. And they're all around you. And I'm going to put her on the spot today, but Barbara, as she came in today, has a story. I'm not going to share it. You ask her. Let her tell you about what she experienced today. Examples of great love and the humility and service that was involved. This past week, my tea habit came into play, and I stopped on the north end of Derby at the HTO place to get some tea. As I was walking in, you crossed the drive-thru, and this lady came around, and I just stopped, and she waved, and I said, "Nah, I wasn't in a hurry." I said, just go on. And I just stood there, and she waved and drove on. I thought, okay, that's not a big deal. When I went up to pay, they said, "Your day just got better." And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "The lady in the drive-thru just bought your tea." I didn't look for that. Was that an example of great love? I thought it was pretty touching for this person to do that. Those things happen so many times a week. Do I notice them? Do you notice those situations? Do we see them as examples of great love and the humility and service of people. The list could go on, but I trust that you would ask God to show you, ask God to let you see how he's using other people to touch you. Our high priest is there forever. Our high priest is trustworthy. He's not proud. He's full of humility, and he wants to serve. He wants us to come in the same union and relationship with his Father that he has. What greater gift could be given to us than to be included in the family of God? To be in that union of love and humility and service that that just flows from God. So I ask you to take, not just this week, but look for those things. Maybe you play it forward. Certainly you can respond to God in thanks. If you would join me in prayer. Loving Father, God, we just thank you for Jesus, for a high priest that is forever, but a high priest that is trustworthy, a high priest that we can rely on, that loves us, that understands us, that comes along beside us. And thank you for your involvement in our lives as well with the Spirit. We are beyond blessed. And I just praise you and I thank you for all. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to communion, think about the high priest that provided this communion meal. We understand some of the steps, what that looks like. But I want to read 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26. And it's not something you've never heard before. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. Picture a loaf of bread he picked up. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And he is coming. We don't know when, but Jesus is coming back. I hope you believe that to your very core. I know I've shared that a few times with the Bible Club kids, and their look of, "Really? Yeah, really, he is coming back." So as you choose to come up forward to the communion table, think about the high priest that we have that loves us more than we can imagine. Father God, as we come again to the table, the elements of Jesus' body and blood represented with the elements on the table, God, I just ask that you would bless them, that you would bless the entire table, that we can look to you and understand how awesome life with you is, life with our high priest. God, I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to come as you are led.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for coming to us during our worship. And Jesus, thank you for taking on the role of our high priest, the ultimate high priest. You gave up your life for us, and you are always there when we approach the Father. Be with us as we leave here today. Be with us throughout this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And our benediction today is 2 John 3. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Have a great week.